Shout yes! Shout glory! Shout glory! Is he all right? I say, is he all right? Is he all right to lift up? Is he all right to praise? Is he all right to wave hands to? Is he all right to say thank you? If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? So I can say thank you. Say thank you. Say thank you. Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, excuse me. While I praise God, I know he might not be with you what he is to me. But let me tell you what I know. I may not know three things. I may not know two things. But one thing I know. I know he's all right. I say, do you know he's all right? Do you know he's all right? Well, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Lift up holy hands without wrath or doubt. Give God some praise. Magnify his name. Is he all right in here? Is he all right to praise? Come on and shout yeah. Shout yeah. Yeah. The power of consistent worship will give you victory.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study at 7:30 p.m. And we'd love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Dr. Montgomery will be celebrating his 64th birthday on January the 18th. And on January 28th, the fourth Sunday, he will celebrate his 35th preaching anniversary at the Greater King David Baptist Church. One church ministering in two locations, 7305 Harry Drive and 222 Blood Road. If Dr. Montgomery has been a blessing to you through the preaching, teaching ministry of God, you can bless him by Cash App or mail. Cash App address is $DrJEM2. $DrJEM2. Or send check or money order to Greater King David Corporate Office, 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Help us celebrate this great man of God.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 22. And verse 42, Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 42, recorded are these words.
saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Verse 43 says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, making the best of a bad situation. Making the best of a bad situation. I think within the confines of these scriptures, we will have some principles, some helpful, holy hints as how to deal with making the best out of a bad situation. I want to throw out parenthetically that we're talking about the best man that ever walked planet Earth, having struggles underneath the skin, dealing with spiritual warfare, and also having to deal with the realities of the flesh. It was a bad situation because he had death before him. Some disobedient disciples around him, and difficulties in him. It was a bad situation because he was struggling in the flesh while yet being God, with his purpose for coming to planet Earth and fulfilling it to the letter. And I think I need to say also to my brothers and sisters that just because you know what to do don't always mean it's easy to do. It just because you know the right thing to do doesn't mean that there won't be struggles in your flesh, that there won't be issues to come against your spirit, that there won't be things you'll have to deal with, because the enemy wants to keep you from accomplishing what God's will is for your life. And so when we look at verse 39 through verse 54, we'll find some of the principles that we're going to deal with today. But the stage is set because Jesus comes to the Mount of Olives. Matthew tells the same story. Matthew gives more details, but Luke is more direct. And Luke just kind of cuts off, trims off all the extra talk, and kind of gets to the nitty-gritty. Luke makes clear he gets to the Mount of Olives, and in verse 40, he gets there and leaves his disciples, the main group, there. But what's clear is the fact that Jesus planned to operate in more than one dimension. In other words, he dealt with the flesh, but he was also dealing with the spirit. And so he set up a backup plan. And the Bible says he told his disciples to pray that he entered not into temptation. Matthew says he said, watch and pray. And so when we understand this, we'll understand the fact that Jesus was putting into place a backup plan. And so the Bible says in Luke here that he went about a stone's throw away, and he kneeled down and prayed. Now, one of the first things I want to bring out is the fact that Jesus knew his purpose. Jesus knew his purpose. One of the best things that can happen to you in the midst of the calamities and the crisis that you're going through is to know your purpose. to know that the reason some of these things are happening to you is because you are on the right path, is because you are doing the right thing, is because you know that God has given you an assignment and an anointment to accomplish that assignment. And so when storms rise, when struggles come, you'll recognize that it is all because you're walking in your purpose. So in his purpose, to fulfill his purpose, he puts a backup plan. He says, listen, I just want you to pray. But now notice he tells them he wants them to pray, but not for him. He says, pray that ye enter not, you enter not into temptation. I got this part fixed right here. See, here's one of the things that Jesus knew, and I think this is clear, that we also understand that you've got to have spiritual discernment to know that everybody can't pray for you. Yeah. Everybody, they may mean well, but they can't. Because you remember when Jesus was telling the disciples that he was going to have to go to the cross and die? It was right after Jesus had asked, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, you've answered well, Peter, but flesh and blood have not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. It wasn't but a few verses later that he had to turn to the same man, Peter, when he told him that he had to go and die on the cross, and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. Peter wasn't ready yet. He had a divine revelation. And sometimes we think we are all fixed and finished when we get a little revelation from the Lord. And so everybody can't pray for you. So he leaves them there to pray for themselves. He wanted them to be close. Listen, he left the circle, brought the inner circle, and then left the inner circle and went about a stone's throw away and kneeled down and prayed. Verse 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, look at how he talks to her. Remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy be done. And one of the things Jesus was making clear here is, listen, Father, this is the Son talking to the Father now. If you are willing, Matthew says, if it be possible. Jesus connects up, according to Luke, straight up and just say, if you are willing, remove. Now, I don't think you get it, because here's what I want you to see. Jesus recognized that he had to do the will of God. Jesus. But the flesh of Jesus did not want to die on Calvary. Just so that you don't think it was something easy, that it was something mystical. Listen, it was as real got. And he said to the Father, if you be willing, I'd like a change of plans. Now notice what he says. He tells the Father to remove the cup from him. Because listen, here is the inference. If you don't remove the cup, I'm going to drink from the cup. Somebody didn't get that. I'm not going to remove myself from the cup, but if you remove the cup from me, then I know the change of plan has been approved. You see, some of us don't understand that God will not remove the challenges and the struggles from before us because he has purposed us to do a certain thing that he would receive the glory from and mankind the good from, but it means you've got to go through some bad situations. And so when he said, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. He quickly said, nevertheless, not my will. That's right. That's right. Said, I want to be clear about this, God. I want to be in your will if you remove this cup. All right, all right, all right. But if you don't remove this cup, then I want to be in your will to fulfill the drinking of this cup. Now, I want you to see what God does in reference to this prayer. He does not remove the cup. One which sustains and confirms the fact that Jesus's purpose was to continue on the completion. He knew his purpose. Say with me, Jesus knew his purpose. See, all this is about Jesus knowing his purpose. He knew his purpose, but because he knew his purpose, he prayed, point two, concerning his purpose. See, one of the things that you've also got to learn to do is to pray concerning your purpose. You have got to solidify, you've got to confirm and affirm and reaffirm on the inside of you the purpose of God, because every day the devil is challenging you, trying to pull you off your path, trying to keep you from fulfilling what God has ordered and ordained your life to be. You've got to pray concerning your purpose that God will give you. You've got to do what he's called and anointed and done. You've got to understand that without prayer, listen, and I'm talking about you praying for yourself about what God told you to do. Well, pray for me concerning my purpose. Well, I don't know your purpose like you know your purpose. See, there are some things God, you might tell me a little bit, but God told you all of it. And you might forget to tell me some stuff that God told you, which makes my prayers inappropriate sometimes or not insufficient sometimes to deal with what God's will truly is for your life. Yes, sir. You might forget some little details, but when you pray according to your purpose, it means then that you want to fulfill your purpose. And you're asking God, give me the strength to do what I need to do to fulfill your purpose in my life. And so he prayed concerning his purpose. Now, my brothers and sisters, may I say to you, may I suggest to you that knowing your purpose is primary, it's paramount, it's first, it's the most needed thing. But after you know it, you need to spend much time in praying concerning your purpose. Many of us have not yet fulfilled nor made much progress in our purpose because we don't pray concerning our purpose. And therefore, the enemy runs interference and roadblocks and detours on our paths that slow us down and sometimes keeps us from accomplishing our purpose because we have not saturated our purpose in prayer. And so the next verse says, verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven. And what did the angel do? He engaged him in a strengthening program. Listen, strengthening, not strengthened, but strengthening him. Now, I think I need to tell you, when you saturate your purpose in prayer and God sends you help to keep you in the place and the path that you need to go to fulfill your purpose, then it means you need strength after strength after strength. He strengthens you today, but if tomorrow comes, you're going to need strength for tomorrow. something happens in today, and then right after that comes something else in the same day, and then after that comes something else in the same day. Can I tell you, you need a continual reality of God's strength powering your life to complete your purpose. And so it was when he received, it was when he on a continual basis that he was able to go from one good degree to another. Every round kept getting higher and higher. All because he was able to get the help that he needed. Now I want you to see something here now. He gets through praying and he goes, because sometimes when we in our planning put backup support in help, we'll find up that our backup support ain't what it ought to be. So he goes back to the disciples, his backup. Somebody say backup. You know when you got backup, you know, you said, listen, I might need to borrow a few dollars. I'm not sure right now, but I'm running a little short. I'm going to get with you, you know, in about a week. So, but I just want to give you a heads up. You know, or whatever your issue is or situation is, you know. And then you go back to him. We say, oh, man, something came up. I ain't got it. Now, listen at this. You put a backup plan in place, but the people who were part of the backup plan were insufficient in their strength and prayer life to back you up. So the backup plan failed. But thanks be to God that Jesus had a backup for the backup. And I'm trying to tell somebody here, you may be depending on man for certain things and you got him as your backup. You call it your reserve. You call it your money set aside for a rainy day. You call it that you can depend on when things get tough and all the rest of that. I think I need to tell you, you need to make sure that your backup plan has a backup plan. And while he put a natural backup plan in place, he had a supernatural backup plan in place as well. Ain't nothing wrong with putting a natural plan in place. Matter of fact, we're encouraged all through the Word of God to do that. But don't put all your trust in man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It was the supernatural backup that came through and strengthened him continually. Look at how the picture plays out. He needed strength. Each step became a greater struggle. But for every struggling step, God provided strength. And I don't care nothing about struggling as long as you got strength to make it. See, because struggling suggests that the enemy has not beat you. Struggling suggests that you're not giving up without a fight. Struggling suggests that your faith might be weak, but it ain't gone. Struggling suggests that it might be rough and it might be tough, but you're rougher and tougher because of Jesus. Struggling suggests that the enemy done messed with the wrong one this time. Struggling suggests that you ain't going down as easy as the devil thought you were. He thought he was going to take you out in round one, and here it is, the last moments of round 12. I wish I had a helper in the house. Struggling says, I believe I'm going to win this thing. I may not have won it as soon as I thought I was going to win it. I may not have arrived as soon as I thought I was going to arrive, but I'm not going to stop till I get there. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a second. And the rest of the verse suggests that he pursued his purpose to completion. Can I tell you, your purpose don't mean nothing until you complete it. Forget about the struggles. Forget about the troubles on your way to your fulfillment of purpose. Because all those things were just issues that the enemy brought up to stop you from doing what God ordained you to do. He goes back to the disciples. They're sleeping. Wake up. I told you, pray that you enter not in temptation. And the word says he went back and prayed all the more earnestly. And the sweat fell down like great drops of blood, because of the intensity of his prayer. And he goes back, but here's what's interesting. The word says he finds them asleep again. Listen at this. Asleep again. Listen to this. He finds them asleep for sorrow. You see, the reason why Jesus wanted them to pray was because when you don't pray in the midst of your struggles and your trials and your tribulations, depression comes upon you. When you are oppressed spiritually, you become depressed internally. And the word says they were sleeping for sorrow. Now, how many of you ever experienced a bout? You might not have depression, but you had a bout with depression. And one of the things about depression is you want to sleep. You just want to shut out the world. You just want to go to sleep and hope that when you wake up, you want to go and hope that when you wake up can pass by, that this day can go on and fulfill itself, that you can't take another step, that you can't go another further, that you just want this thing to be. So for sorrow, you go to sleep. Y'all ain't acting like y'all talking for real to me. You just want to sleep, so you don't have to think about it, so you don't have to deal with it. But Jesus said, you need to pray so you don't enter into temptation. The next time you're going through something and you just want to, I just want to sleep. I'm tired. No, get on your knees. Call Jesus up and tell him all about your troubles. He makes clear that their struggle was because they weren't praying. And then comes Judas. Now, Judas came with a group of men with all kinds of weapons to take Jesus with. And Jesus sees Judas. Judas sees Jesus, and they ask him, you've come to betray me with a kiss? Judas is amazed that Jesus knows his plan, because Judas has said, according to Matthew, listen, the one I kiss, hold him fast, that is the one. He it is. But Luke just comes straight on out and say, he said, you're going to betray me with a kiss? Yeah. And so when Jesus gives them front of church. He said, I was in the temples teaching with you all. Y'all didn't have to come at me like this. He said, but I know you're doing what you're doing to fulfill scripture, so come on here. Listen, then Peter draws his sword.